Welcome to Markets Now. I'm Michelle Rook along with Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. Well, we're seeing kind of a mixed trade in the grains already this morning. We do have the wheat market higher, soybeans lower, and corn kind of caught in the middle, but some pressure over in the livestock. And Brian, let's talk about soybeans. We've had some pretty good rains in Argentina. That market's been removing weather premium. Do you think we're going to take a lot more weather premium out? And how much good have these rains done?
Well, all good questions. So the rains always do some good. Rain makes grain, and you have to go with that. Now, is it widespread enough, and is it too late in Argentina? For some of the crop, it is. You've got poorly rated crops, and in particular, you've got corn at only 5% good to excellent. Maybe some bump up there, but Argentina will struggle this year to have anything close to average on both their corn and soybean crops. But the big, what I'm going to call Southern Hemisphere swing vote, obviously, is Brazil, where their dominance in soybean production is paramount. And so you kind of got this conflict in the bean market between improving conditions, I'm going to say, in South America versus last week's USDA report that had a friendly and supportive tone to it. We punched into the new high for the last 6 months on futures and quickly reverted downward on better forecast. So the choppiness remains. It's what you're not hearing me say. You're not hearing me say, boy, the market is set up for beans to run the $17 or $18 or some kind of move. We just don't have that weather behind us. We've got a good export pace. We've got a great crush pace. We've got good meal. But remember, we're still hovering around, give or take 25 cents, around $15. And now we're on the low end of that at 1482 this morning.
Yeah. So do you think we're going to stay in that range, or do we have some more downside ahead of us?
Well, at these price levels, there's always more downside, because when you look at the money flow in a marketplace at a higher price, if the money decides to leave the market, the fall off can be kind of quick. And I'm like a broken record, but I want to take all of us back to last June when the corn and soybean markets just sliced. And then when they went down, there was no stopping. And a lot of that was just money moving out of the market. Didn't really necessarily reflect the conditions of the crop at that time here in the U.S., where it was very, very peculiarly dry and hot and windy in parts of the Midwest, and you're watching corn beans drop off really hard. So I do worry about the money flow deciding, well, there's not a lot of potential with Brazil coming on board. Let's put our dollars elsewhere. Mm-hmm. The question is, where's the elsewhere? Maybe the wheat market, or perhaps maybe in equities, where interest rates are expected to rise, but again, at a slowing pace and maybe long-term better prospects. Remember, the equity markets have a tendency to be ahead of the economy. The economy is probably headed toward worldwide recession or something close to that. But the equities have sort of rebounded already and now are chopping around. So maybe offering, you know, the equities, some maybe offering some better opportunity for investors to look at perhaps than buying $15 soybeans if Brazil's crop looks good.
Yeah. And so we'll be really watching those early harvest results, obviously. So what about this corn market? We got some help from wheat yesterday, kind of closed above key moving averages. That market's pretty sideways. Are we going to stay that way?
I do. I think the U.S. farmer is keeping a really tight eye on this market. And I think farmers on rallies are starting to push corn into the pipeline. They know they had better prices last year, but last year there was a war that erupted and a lot of uncertainty. These are still high prices historically, and we've seen basis levels pop back in some areas. What we don't see yet is this robust export market development, and consequently, that's the wet rag over the corn market. I think the Argentine corn crop is the supportive tone to the market. So what you get is what we've seen, a lot of back and forth, no strong direction. I ultimately worry that we grind lower on a slippery slope, as bull markets often do. They have this long tail, but we're poised. So the spring is kind of loaded for prices to rally if there's any kind of weather event of consequence beyond what we've seen. When I say consequence, I'm really talking about the second crop, Safrina Brazil corn. That's the big swing crop right now, and that'll determine direction in the marketplace.
And the wheat market, are we just correcting our oversold status here with this bounce that we saw yesterday and continuing today?
Technically, yes. It's nothing more than a correction in a downtrend that found some footing and jumped. But I've been a little bit more proactive in believing that the market is getting closer to probing for a low. We're pretty cheap on the world market across the world to all end users. Now, the U.S. may be still overvalued, but when you look at winter wheat conditions here in the U.S. and then the chances for single-digit temperatures, not a good scenario again for winter wheat producers. When you look at, you know, elsewhere around the world, Ukraine. We don't see how they have anything close to normal production in the year ahead. Russia had a bumper crop last year. I think it's probably hard to argue they're going to have something better than they had last year. Probably pulls back a little bit. So we don't really see, you know, big additions to the world crop. Of course, India or Australia can have big crops, but I'm not seeing any wholesale changes. And at these current price levels compared to where corn is priced, I think wheat is a product. In fact, wheat might become more of a feed grain in parts of the U.S. here soon if this trend continues. So I'm not really negative wheat anymore. The fund money still is, but that also means that if they decide to cover their positions or go long, there's a lot of room for wheat to recover.
Yeah. What about this cattle market? Obviously, we're all talking about the tight numbers ahead. That's dominated the market here for many weeks, but we get these corrections. They're shallow in nature, and then we kind of push back up into the high areas, but don't take those out. So what is it that this market is trading right now? We've got tight supply, but what, demand is the other factor that's kind of limiting us?
It is. It's the same basic variables we've talked about: inflation, the consumer dollar. Our consumers really in a position to go out and chase higher beef prices. Those are things that have concerned us. I think the last study showed that 63% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. That's not a healthy environment if you're going to go out and get a couple of steaks. So, you know, I've made the argument to you that I think consumers aren't going to spend money on big ticket items. And we're seeing that in other industries, but they'll go out and eat. I get that, but I don't know if we've got, what I'm getting at is I don't know if we've got the variables to just punch us higher. That might still have to come from the supply side. Let's say a poor weight gain month in February, or a lot of winter storms or things like that might affect the supply. The biggest concern, again, is just the overall economic conditions, not only domestically, but worldwide. Fed, as I mentioned earlier, expected to raise interest rates again. They're not really giving the sign that they're taking the foot off the pedal on trying to slow this economy and sectors. So I'm thinking we're range bound to higher. Supply numbers are supportive, but I don't know if there's that impetus to really push the market into these 175 areas that we kind of had on our radar for some time. I just don't know if we're going to get there with the economy the way it is.
Gotcha. And the milk market, you know, demand is obviously a factor there. And are we getting close to putting a low in this market or not?
Well, I like to think we're getting close to putting a low in, but what puts in a low? It has to be a better value to the consumer, or we have to talk about lower supplies. And on the last milk production report, we didn't see evidence of lower supply. In fact, we saw a few more cows. We saw higher efficiency per cow, so more production. So we're seeing more production. At the same time, again, this very tepid economy. China's a big wild card coming out of COVID. Are their consumers ready to roar into the marketplace, or is the spread of COVID going to keep their consumer, and their consumers, you know, struggling economically as well. So I don't know if we've got the demand market right now to sort of pull us out of this hole. We're deep enough. We've got one really nice chart signal a few days ago. We got a nice bullish key reversal, and maybe that'll sort of wake up the bears that they want to move out of their positions pretty quick and the bulls to start buying in. But we still need to see a better sign. I think that the production sign is maybe showing slowness, and it just hasn't been there yet. So the next milk production report might give us a better signal.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. And that's Mark.